service guests have requested intercessions. Numerous service guests, sisters, brothers, fathers, and mothers ask for intercessions of God's, from God's children on the behalf of their children, their grandchildren, their close ones, their friends, and themselves, that they could retain the living faith, and those without this faith could find the kingdom of God. A sister is asking for wisdom and courage to live as a believer in this pluralistic world. A brother asks that the living gospel would beget a living faith in the heart. A mother on behalf of her teenage son and goddaughter, a mother on behalf of her 18-year-old son, sister on behalf of their brother, that they would receive the grace of repentance. Several sisters and brothers on behalf of their children and other relatives, that they would find the way to God's kingdom. A widow thanks for the thanks Heavenly Father for this, that he has heard many prayers. A mother asks the matters in his children's families to be clarified, and a grandmother that the misunderstandings in her daughter's life would be clarified. A sister asks forgiveness in the midst of disagreements. A believing couple that feuds over inheritance would be clarified, that they could live together, supporting each other. A brother is asking for an intercession on behalf of his brother who's gotten into trouble. A mom for courage to trust in God's guidance in the midst of feelings of loneliness and new friends and escorts. A sister asking strength to accept that she doesn't have near relatives, and a feeling of meaning for her life. A brother is asking blessing to the life of his younger brother, and a sister that a difficult developmental crisis of a close person would be resolved. A mother that her children would find a place in their lives and would receive believing escorts. Bring the warmth of your presence to our homes. Bless our children and our youth and protect their growth. Designate a place and duties for them in this world. Let us see the connection between generations as a richness. A sister is asking an intercession of the children of God on her behalf and on behalf of her close ones, that they would be protected from bitterness in a difficult phase of life, and that they could accept what has happened as a trial given by God, and that they could forgive difficult matters to their perpetrators, and that the close ones would remain in faith and would cope with this difficult situation. A sister is asking that God would lead the way out from a difficult situation in life, and that the children would find believing spouses as supports and as a light in life and faith. Service guests ask for God's guidance in their own lives and in the lives of their close ones. A widow mother, that God would give a believing spouse. A man, that the will of God would be fulfilled in questions of changing professions. He's asking awakening in his locality and intercessions on behalf of the home Zion. A brother for resumption of his mental health. clarity in relationships, and that an obedient mind and faith would stay and remain. A brother is asking to be freed from distressing matters and strength to believe from grace. And a mother, that life would be cleared after a difficult phase. Thank you, Father, that you have been with us and that you have given love and you've let trust return to marriage. A believing sister on behalf of a dear asylum seeker, that he would not need to return back to his home country to a danger of death. Service guests are asking intercessions on their own and their close ones' behalf, that their health would remain and that they would cope with everyday life. A mother who has listened to services is asking for prayer on behalf of her son who has a psychic illness and that he would be healed. A mother is asking strength for her children that they would be freed from dependency on gambling and games. Thanks for the gift of faith. Let us pray. The God of all mercy, you know all people. You know our distress, and you are our helper. Turn your gaze unto us, who now pray to you. Numerous worries and sorrows weigh on our close ones. Give them courage that they could experience the love, caretaking, guardianship, and sympathy of travel friends. Bolster that faith in them that you have begun, and guide them all once to the home in heaven. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, in Jesus Christ, dear listeners of the Word, both here at Summer Services, as well as there by internet and radio. After this intercession, we quiet into today's services, and I had thought to read for the introduction of my sermon two texts of the Bible. First, from Psalm 139, certain selected verses, and then from the New Testament, from First Letter of John, the end of the first chapter and the beginning of the second. So let us hear these words of God in Jesus' name. From Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And from the end of the psalm, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as a mirror to this psalm, from the first letter of John, let us hear. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, dear listeners, if God permits, we can pause with these two texts to ask. Question, especially thinking of our young children and our youth. That have we observed, have we noticed, or how should we pose this question? Have we been able to? How great a gift this Christian faith is in our lives. And the second question, what are what is the central view, the vision in this Christian faith in which we live ourselves? What is this scenery in which our children, can grow? So these texts that we read from the Bible bring two central concepts concerning us people. Psalm 139 brings us this concept of human right, humanity, which is ethics. Which belongs to societal life. It's common to all people. Or could we say that this Christian faith and the living faith could, in a similar way, then is said in the letter to the Romans, that do we overcome or omit the law by having faith and know we confirm the law. So we could ask here that even though we do not, we're not saved because of we're humans and the fact that we have this value as human beings does not save us, but faith does not take this away from us. Faith confirms this value in us human beings to something that concerns all people. So the psalm writer, when marveling the creation work of God, saw in himself, as he says in this psalm here, he kind of holds his own hand and says humbly and thankfully to God, how precious also that I am a miracle. So can a person experience and feel this after falling, after the falling into sin? In this Christianity, can our children, can our youth feel this? Do you dare to feel this? That I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. That I am a great miracle. So this value in us is based on the work of creation. And when God created humanity, created this, human dignity is true at all times. Even a criminal who thinks of himself, even his deeds can be judged, and one has to suffer consequences. Even a criminal is a miracle, has human dignity, has value. So, what follows if we could experience this in our own lives every day, all the time? Our responsibility and our capability to take responsibility of our lives brings a good life. The school books speak of this. It's somehow natural. Common to all of us. But the psalm writer wants to come to practice from this theory and wants to think of himself in this way, in front of God's goodness. So we also at our homes, and certainly you parents do this, you have children, you hold your children in your lap. And this is somehow also a message of God's love, the gift of creation, that this person is immensely valuable every moment. So this viewpoint is ethical, common to all people, not directly linked to salvation. But faith in Christ verifies this. It is an important viewpoint in our lives and in all relationships within the Zion, at our homes, but also in our society and in the world. in general. So we could, first to ourselves, but also to all people, we could show this human dignity. We then ask, when pondering this concept and the goodness of life, is this all? Is this sufficient? Is there something in our lives that is called, as was called in the second portion of text that we read, that is called sin? What is sinfulness? We are immensely precious miracles, but in John's letter, it is said that we're also sinful. So we want to believe in Jesus Christ. In the same way as this human dignity is always valid and does not depend on what we do or what we do not do, but it is based on God's creation work. In the same way, being sinful and sinfulness is a total existence and reality. They do not cancel out. It is true at all times. Also when we have been able to rejoice in faith, even in a state of peace, in a state of having good conscience from our own sides, within ourselves, we are sinful. Sometimes I've heard, and we have discussed with a certain friend, who is not believing in the same way as we are able to be. And this friend criticized this concept of being sinful, that is kind of like guilt of existing. But sinfulness is not guilt of existing. What is it then? Many things pertain to this, but when we look at this, the psalm writer this morning kind of awoke us to shake us to be awake, to marvel at how precious and how valuable this sheer existence is. And maybe he understood that in his life there's so much something that he has not chosen. Even the fact that he exists, the fact that we can wake up to this day, we have not controlled our heartbeat or our breathing at night, but all of us are sustained. The nature, the creation, is sustained and kept by Almighty God. There are many miraculous and beautiful things in this world, but if in the same way we wake ourselves up to observe what is sinfulness and how is our life, what kind of things are painful, even during that beautiful intercession we discussed pain, even though there are plenty of good things in life. Life is immensely precious. Because of falling into sin, there is plenty in this world that of such that is not valuable. There are things that cause pain or like a certain handicapped person one of the greatest gifts in my job as a priest is to be able to meet them and be with them. Thanks for existing, being there, and that you teach us mediocre travelers about the miracle of life. One of these special people encountered sorrow in the midst of his or her close ones. So this person sat at my table at a cafeteria, as this person knew me. And the question coming from this person so honestly was that, priest or puppy, that what is this death? What is this death? It is one consequence of sin in this world. So we are passing, transient. So what is this sin? Another dimension relates to something that was discussed at confirmation school this summer. One young person asked a question. He was in front of the secret God when he started to ponder that, why did God, when he loved people so much, why did he not correct the falling into sin immediately, but left us here so that we here fight and wage wars in this world still? But and this is a consequence of falling, original falling into sin. So falling into sin has resulted in these sinful acts in the world. In its core, sinfulness is this, that even though God created a good world, he created a man to be his own image and to live in unity with him. But in the falling into sin, a human being did not want to be like a child, but wanted to be like God. So this falling into sin came, and connection to God was broken, and a human being became unable, incapable of saving himself. So sinfulness is that all of us, we are unable to save ourselves. So it is inability in the light of God's word. And it is also these sinful deeds and bad things in this world too. So now in this Christianity, we read the Bible, we discuss a lot. And like Paul said, we are seeped with this religious language. And God can live in our midst. But in light of these texts, I would return to our homes and our children. Where the gift of faith of an adult gets its true nature in the midst of children. So when we think of small children, we ask this question that we began in the first place, that we would understand how great a gift this living faith is. It is a blessing of eternal life, but it frees and supports this life that can be lived without faith as well. If a person has high morals and good upbringing and wants to be good and righteous, but the living faith is immensely secure and enables a true growth. From a small child to adulthood. So the basic scenery that I asked about in the beginning, that what is this atmosphere at home? What is this scenery, the outlook? So if these type of things could exist there simultaneously, that we are immensely valuable every moment. We are also sinful. A small child, according to his or her age, encounters this sinfulness, and forgiveness is needed. And maybe that sinfulness within us so when Christ is at home, which is the main thing, maybe then that sinfulness is also realistic. And we can be like Lestadius said, that a person is sinful but not guilty. So we can be comforted by the Holy Spirit. This sinfulness and understanding it, guides us towards the Christ. How could we crystallize this righteousness to little kids and to all of us? Maybe in this way, that pertaining to the gospel of little children, we could ask these children who are so precious, from their side, just like we are. They have fights like us adults do. We discuss forgiveness. We forgive. We discuss Jesus. And we talk about this Jesus that opens up his arms to all children and everyone who is like a child, and not only to those who have been successful, but especially to those who have failed. There to Christ's bosom a child can go. The love of Christ or God is yet greater than the love of parents. It begins in Christ. For the love of God begins when the love of us human beings ends. So let us hope that Christ could be at our homes and could call just exactly these children who have been fighting the most. For Christ wants to bless them and speak good things to them, and that he has come to reconcile our sins. And what follows from this grace? Nothing bad follows from it. There's nothing bad that follows from faith in Christ. Where Christ himself and trust in him remains. From that grace and from that love of God, nothing bad can follow, only good things. So, dear listeners, with these texts, also us, also we can rejoice over the gift of life and the gift of faith, first and foremost. And grace in Jesus Christ. In our hearts, we can believe in Christ, that He is the reason of our salvation, and He is the power of our faith. Even this morning, we can believe all of our sins forgiven in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus. We can be blessed and secured. I ask myself, can I remain believing with you? In Jesus' name, amen.